Okay. I have with me two lovely girls, Kate and Miranda. They're going to do our Trinity Liturgy this morning. You want to share it together? Welcome home.
Welcome home. Why are we here?
Why? Worship God.
All right. Please prefer your hearts or your minds as we worship God together. All right. Thank you. Can we also give them a warm welcome for doing that? Thank you so much for being here with me this morning. All right. We're going to go back over here. Thank you.
Key to lyrics, and I'm going to actually depend on them to sing quite a bit for me. Glad to be back. Ready?
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healing set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing a when your love came down.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love.
I am so thrilled to have a few minutes to speak with you today because we have a very special visitor with us. We have the Bishop of the United Methodist Church of Brazil visiting with us today, and he gave a wonderful sermon that I got to hear at the last service, and you and I won't hear it, but I want to tell you some things that he shared with us. And I know that all our friends will listen carefully because then they'll have an opportunity to listen too. You know, God loves us so freely. He gives us his grace, his love that we don't deserve, but he gives to us anyway. And his sermon said, reaction to grace. Well, what do we do with that love that God gives us? Do you know, Miranda? Oh, perfect. Give to others. You see, children understand. Give that love to others. And do you think God wants us to give that love or serve others kind of unhappy, or do you think he wants us to be filled with joy when we serve others? What do you think, Mason? full of joy. Well, that's it. That's just what the bishop shared with us today. You know, a few weeks ago, you were praying for me, and you were praying for Allison and for Matthew's grandpa. We were on what we call a mission trip to Guatemala. And if someone said, how was the trip? I said, oh, it was wonderful. I loved it. We brought fresh, clean water to those wonderful people. But the other side of it was very, very hot. It was dusty. And we were thirsty all the time. But that isn't what we were thinking of. We were thinking of what the bishop is sharing today, is that we go and we serve God with joy. So what I'd love you to think about, and Matthew, we'll talk a little more at Sunday school about this, darling.
We help all of those people to get clean and fresh food for every one of those poor people.
Thank you, darling. I think that's it. And that's just what we're about. So what I'd like to ask you to do today, and I think the bishop will ask all our darling adults to do the same. It doesn't matter whether you are a tall person or a short person, adult or a child. You can serve God, and you can serve God with joy. So we'll talk a little bit more about this at Sunday school, but I hope that you'll think of ways you can serve God. But let's think of ways we can serve God with joy. And Matthew, thank you for your part in this. Thank you, darling. Let's pray together. Our dear and loving God, we are so grateful that we can come together in this wonderful place to worship you, to hear your word proclaimed by a brother of our church from Brazil. We are grateful that he is going to guide us in learning how to react to grace in positive ways, to serve you with our whole hearts, minds, soul, and strength, with joy. Be with our darling friends this week and help them to serve you with joy. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the people say,
amen. Good morning. Would you please stand? Let us join singing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Grace that exceeds
Are you standing? Let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Be seated. Friends, in just a minute, some names will appear on the screens. If you will please keep these individuals in your thoughts and prayers. These are those who are in the hospitals, and also these are the names of those in rehab, and lastly, in hospice care. So let's please keep these individuals in our thoughts and prayers. I would be remiss if I did not point out that Nick Kornstein is here somewhere. Where are you, Nick? We just want to say we love you. And it's so good to see you. God bless you. I'm so glad you made it to church this morning. We've been praying for you. So good to see you. Do you want to stand and share anything with us? Do you? Okay. Well, we love you and God bless you. It's really a blessing to see you. All right. If you feel comfortable grabbing the hand of your neighbor, let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Holy One, loving and gracious God, we come to you this morning. God, as the rays from the sun breaks the chill of the morning, we pray, O Lord, that the light of Christ will warm us, O Lord, through the light of your glory. We worship you this morning. We praise you, we honor you, and we bless your holy and your righteous name. O God, your word tells us that you inhabit the praises of your people. And so, Lord, this morning we come praising you and thanking you, worshiping you, O Lord. Indeed, it is an honor, O Lord, to call upon the name of the Lord. Your word teaches us all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, we thank you for this great church and all of the families that make up this church. We thank you for the ministries that are going forth. God, we do remember those who are sick and ill within the hospitals, those who are recovering through rehab, and those, O Lord, who are going on within hospice care. God, we thank you for the great bishop from Brazil, O Lord. We ask, O Lord, that you'll anoint him afresh and anew and undergird him with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for the extended community in Gainesville, those who are sleeping on cardboards, those who don't have food to eat, those who don't have money to pay their bills. God, we remember them in this prayer this morning. And we ask, O Lord, that you'll meet their needs according to your riches and according to your glory. God, we also pray for the group in Israel. We ask that you would bring them back safely from the Holy Land, O Lord, filled with joy, filled with peace, filled with testimony of your goodness and your mercy. Now, O God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Peace, oh quiet rest.
you. Thank you. Friends, I have the pleasure of introducing a great man of God with us this morning. Can you give Bishop Lopes a warm Trinity welcome? Thank you so much for being with us. Bless you. Let me just share a little bit about his background. Bishop Lopes served 18 years as an ordained elder in the 6th region of the Brazilian Methodist Church. In 2006, he was elected president of the College of Bishops of the Brazilian Methodist Church. In 2011, he became the president of the College of Bishops of Latin America. Bishop Lopes is married to Alger. He and his wife have 2 adult sons, 2 daughters-in-laws, and 3 grandchildren. He's also a member of the Board of Trustees of both Asbury and the Mission Society. And a unique, interesting fact about him is his initials are J.C., and he was also born on December 25th. Isn't that something? Once again, would you put your hands together and welcome the bishop for being with us this morning. Indeed, it is an honor. Other announcements: on March 1st through the 3rd, there's going to be a Trinity Women's Retreat. We just had a men's retreat about 2 or 3 weeks ago. The women's retreat will be held at the Life Enrichment Center in Fruitland Park, March 1st through the 3rd. For more details, you can check with Kim Lorenz or just visit the website. Also, this Wednesday, regarding our Lenten series, our theme is Walking with Jesus. Reverend David Leonard, our very own, is going to be ministering this Wednesday. So we hope to see you at dinner at 5:30, and the service will start promptly at 6:30. Also, the Interfaith Hospitality Network, those families will be with us February the 24th through March the 3rd. We have all the meals covered except for 2 days. That's Sunday and Tuesday evening. So if you would like to donate meals or monies towards the meal, please contact Linda Melling. The information is in your bulletin. So, friends, with that said, if you'll stand and greet your neighbor with these words, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Bless you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do thank you for our partnership with the Helping Hands Clinic. And God, we thank you for this offering. We bless you for the gift as well as the giver. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
We'll be singing the God Who Gave Us Life from the Testament of Freedom. The Testament of Freedom was composed in honor of the 200th anniversary of the birth of Thomas Jefferson. He wrote the text, and we selected this piece on this President's Day weekend.
Good morning. I bring you greetings from the Methodist Church of Brazil. Small church, but a growing church for the glory of Jesus Christ. I want to say thank you to Pastor David for taking care of me. Such a good guy. Enjoy being with him. I want to thank Pastor Dan, who is not here, but who invited me to come, and he said, I won't be there, but you make yourself at home. He's a courageous person. And I praise the Lord for the diversity of gifts in this church, and so many different groups singing in the different services, and people working, such a nice choir. And we had the band in the second service. It's so nice. I told the pastor I could stay here all day long. I love being with the people of the Lord. I love getting to know brothers and sisters that I have never seen before. We're going to be together forever. You better get accustomed to my accent. I was telling the pastor, I was called to preach. Understanding is your problem. Just kidding. Actually, I quote that from a pastor that we have in my conference in Brazil. He was born by forceps, and he had some trouble, and he has a problem speaking, even in Portuguese, and he always says that. Well, I was called to preach. God never told me about understanding. So, I'm glad to be here with you. Great to meet some brothers and sisters. Pastor David, a few weeks ago, if you were here, you heard him preaching on the subject of grace. He talked about prevenient grace, and it was a good lesson. I heard his message on the internet. Prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace, and he ends with amazing grace. And then about 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dan preached about forgiveness, and it has everything to do with grace. So, and they preached on Matthew. Pastor David preached on out of Matthew 5, and Pastor Dan from Matthew 18. So I stay in the middle. I'm preaching to you out of Matthew 8, 14 and 15. Let us read the Word of God. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. I was thinking about this passage and this specific miracle as Matthew tells it, and I thought to myself, well, in the context of Matthew 8, this miracle does not seem like a very impressive miracle. Because in the beginning of Matthew 8, from 1 through 5, a man who has leprosy comes to Jesus and asks to be healed. And Jesus heals him. This man had leprosy. And then from 5 through 13, a soldier comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus sends this soldier home saying that his servant has already been healed. Now in verse 14 and 15, he stops by Peter's house. He sees that his mother-in-law is in bed because she has a fever. And Jesus touches her hand, and the fever leaves her. So I was thinking, he just healed a man from leprosy. That was a terrible disease. And then he performed this wireless miracle. The guy is far away. The guy doesn't even see Jesus. Jesus doesn't see the guy. And the guy is healed. What a surprise. Because it's not the guy who is asking Jesus to heal him. It's his boss. And now Jesus ends his day by healing this woman of a fever. It seems like a small miracle. It's just a fever. Go take an aspirin. Well, there are a few things about fever in the Old Testament and in Jesus' time that we need to know in order to really understand what's happening here. Three things. Fever in the Old Testament was considered not a symptom of a disease. Fever was considered a disease itself. In other words, you could suffer from cancer or suffer from fever. That's the way people saw it. Second, fever had a strong theological meaning. And that's very important. According to Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, fever was a punishment coming from God, sent by God, to those who broke the covenant, to those who disobeyed the law. That's the way they saw fever. It was called heavenly fire. God is sending heavenly fire because you disobeyed him. That's the way they saw it. And third, according to the rabbinic tradition, nobody could touch somebody who had fever. But our text is very simple and very clear. Jesus sees this lady lying in bed with a fever. He touches her hand, and the fever leaves her. Well, just one touch of Jesus, just one touch in her hand, delivers that woman from that fever. And if in her mind that fever was the result of any kind of sin, because that was the way they saw it, if in her mind that fever was the result of any kind of sin, then just one touch of Jesus sets her free from the heaviness, from the sadness, and from the guilt that sin brings with it. My friends, that's grace. That's pure grace. One touch delivering people from the heaviness and the guilt of sin. And grace never condemns. Grace doesn't just feel sorry for you. Grace really delivers you. Grace heals you. Grace transforms you. Grace brings joy. I can identify myself with that situation, and I think that so do you. I have been the target, or a target, of God's grace. And I think that if we opened a space here and the time for you folks to share of a time or many times when you felt like you have been the target or a target of God's grace, we'd leave here late. Because all of us have had an experience of being a target of God's grace. I cannot count the times when God showed me this is grace in your life. Actually, I was telling one of my children a few months ago, I said, everything in our lives is the direct result of God's grace. When I visit my dad, who is a completely illiterate man in the small town of Cornelio Procopio in southern Brazil. And we share about his life and about our lives. I say, God, thank you for your grace. I do not deserve any of that. But how can we know that this specific miracle seems so small, being set free from a fever, was important in the life of that woman? Look at the end of verse 15. It says, she got up and began to serve him. That's what we could call the reaction to grace. He touched her. The fever left her. She got up and began to serve. When we are touched by Jesus, and when we're healed by his touch, the most legitimate reaction is to get up and begin to serve. Some translation of this text, and the same story told by Mark and by Luke, says that she got up and began to serve them. Not him, but them. Which means that she was serving the disciples and people who were surrounding Jesus. You and I have been touched by Jesus. I have been forgiven of my sins. I no longer live under the heaviness of guilt. I have every reason to wake up every single morning and rededicate my life to serve God and serve others. The good news is every single person can serve. And I don't think I have reason to serve God only. I have reason to serve God and people with joy. Everyone can serve. The rich can serve. The poor also can serve. The young people can serve, but so can the elderly. The man can serve, but so can the woman. My wife, Algier, you heard that she's a pastor. And she's a pastor at the slum area in Curitiba. She serves very poor children, especially the children, the family. But she has a special work with the women and the children. Actually, I was looking for a very courageous pastor to send to the slums. So I sent my wife. Marry me, she proved that she was courageous. So, she's serving the children. And it was Christmas time, 2011. And usually at Christmas time, if you're serving the poor, you're thinking about finding gifts for those children. But this time, Algiers thought of something else. She gathered the kids, about 50 of them, and told them the story of a hospital that we have in Curitiba. Not for the poor, just a hospital. And she said, well, there are many children at that hospital. It's a large hospital. And she said, there are many children in that hospital that will have a sad Christmas because they're sick in bed in the hospital. And she told those children, what if we surprised those children? Let us take some gifts to them. How are you going to do that? The bishop will sign a letter to the business people in the neighborhood, and we'll go with that letter asking them to help us to surprise the kids in the hospital. And those poor kids from the slums got about 300 different gifts. And on Christmas Eve, they came to the hospital and gave away those gifts. Didn't matter if the child there was rich or poor. Those poor kids are giving gifts away to all the kids in the hospital. Later on, my wife joined and gathered them together to debrief the situation, the experience. And all of them said, this has been our best Christmas ever. They were happy. We serve the Lord and serve the people in the name of the Lord with joy. With joy. The Brazilian Methodist Church has a phrase that's our slogan. It goes like that. Methodist Church, a missionary community serving the people. And this pastor in Rio, he wrote in his van, Methodist Church, missionary community serving the people. He stops at a stoplight, and this man opens the door of his van, comes in, and says, could you take me to this such address? So the pastor said, hey, this is not a taxi. So the man says, well, but it's written there, serving the people. So the pastor is thinking, I'm going to ask him to get out or I will call the police. But the Holy Spirit was quicker. And the Holy Spirit told the pastor, either you take him there or you erase that from your van. So the pastor turns around and said, where do you want to go really? And the pastor says, I took him with such a joy Because the Holy Spirit told me, do that. We have been touched. We have been touched by God's grace. And we, as church, we exist for that. That's the reason why we exist. We exist to serve. All of us. All of us. And we serve as we witness to people. We serve as we make disciples. We serve as we teach people. We serve as we give from our time to people, from our gifts, from our talents, from our money. We serve as we give out of authentic generosity. The church, actually the kingdom of God, which is larger than the church, the kingdom of God is the only place in this earth where to be really great, you need to be the servant of all. I don't like very much when people say, well, get first in line because you're the bishop. I say I should be last in line and try to help people to get there. Because I was chosen to serve. And when I became a pastor, I was a pastor to serve the church. And when I was elected a bishop, I was elected to serve the pastors and the church. We have been called to serve. To be great, we need to be the servant of all. Let us go back to the story of Peter's mother. After she was healed, it would be very acceptable if she stayed in bed for a few more time, a few hours, or even a day. She had been sick. She could stay in bed for a little while, but she didn't want to stay in bed. She gets up and she begins to serve. What a great reaction. I have been healed. I want to serve. What a great enthusiasm. What a great example to us. By just one touch of Jesus. One touch. Whatever was keeping that woman from serving was taken away from her life. Whatever was keeping that woman to serve was taken from her life. And that's what I want to pray this morning. I want to pray that Jesus will touch me and touch you. I'll pray that His touch will take away from me and from you anything that keeps us from serving Him and from serving others in His name. There are many things that keep us from serving Jesus. Sometimes it's guilt. It's guilt. Sometimes it's lack of forgiveness. Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's a lack of ability to deal with our time. Whatever it may be, just one touch of Jesus can set us free and can take away that's preventing us from serving Him. Would you stand up, please? And I would like to invite whoever wants to come to this altar. Because I like the idea of touching. Holy touch. Blessed touch. And I would like for the pastor and myself, we'll touch your shoulder or your head, asking Jesus to take away whatever is preventing you to serve with joy. Would you come forward if you would, so that we'll pray together in the name of Jesus. I would not spend 1 minute of my life, 1 minute, serving somebody who is dead. But you are alive. And as we talk about your word, you're here. It's your promise, and we believe it. I am with you always. Thank you for being here. And thank you for touching us right where we need to be touched. Father, you're not just here. You are here, and you know each one of us. You know our needs, and you know what keeps us, try to keep us from serving you wholeheartedly. And as we pray for our brothers and sisters, for your children, may your touch be a healing touch. May your touch deliver each one of us from anything that's trying to keep us from serving you. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. And we thank you for what you have already been done, has already done in our lives, and for what you're going to continue to do. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the families represented in this altar. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for blessings. Thank you for everything we need. You are able to give us. You are the great I am. Thank you for your touch. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Friends, at this time, will you join me for the Trinity Liturgy? Come to the table of our Lord. Let us bow our heads for a silent moment of reflection and confession. We break the moment of silence in these words. It is good to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, and so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we offer ourselves to you, proclaiming the mystery of faith. Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here today, and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Amen. Friends, you may now come, receive Holy Communion, and if you would still like to come for a private moment of prayer, you can do so at this time. Let us stand. Let's hear it again for Bishop Lobes. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Excellent job. Thank you. Thank you. Now for the closing sending forth. Now may the love of God, the Lordship and leadership of Jesus Christ, and the sweet peace of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bishop.